Could we turn again to the passage from which we were reading? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll read again at verse 15. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now tonight is our harvest Thanksgiving, so for that reason we'll leave aside our regular series and take a few thoughts from this passage which has Thanksgiving at the very heart of it. What are you thankful for? It's quite a question, isn't it? What are we thankful for? Well, the truth is we should be thankful for a great deal, a great list of things, the many goodnesses, the many kindnesses that we experience at the hands of the Lord. I'm sure we can all think of much for which to be thankful. But this text reminds us that for God's people, there is ultimately one thing for which we are thankful, one gift that is far above all other gifts, and indeed, one gift that really comprises all other gifts. Our gift from the Lord is one gift, one unspeakable gift, one gift that encompasses our whole lives, that begins in eternity past and stretches into eternity to come. A gift of the goodness and kindness of God, such as we cannot imagine. A gift that is truly unspeakable. God's provision for his people is not a series of little blessings. It is one tremendous lifetime of blessing. It is his unspeakable gift, a gift so comprehensive that every privilege, every good experience is just one part of it. Now the Apostle Paul is here writing to a rich congregation. Corinth was a wealthy city. Here was a congregation that no doubt included many rich people. They had many goods, and they were generous with what they had. They had given generously to the collection for the impoverished believers in Judea. At this time there was a famine in Judea, that is in the part of Israel where our Lord had come from. And the relief that was being organized by the apostle would go to help. This collection would go to help the believers who were impoverished. The people of Corinth had given generously, we're told, even provoking others to generosity. So generous were they. And this is, of course, a proof of their salvation, a proof of grace that they showed such generosity. And so the apostle is giving thanks. But he's not giving thanks to them for their collection, for their individual gifts. He's giving thanks to God. To God who gave the goods, but more especially to God who changed the heart so that instead of keeping these goods to themselves, they were willing to be generous. The thanks are to God because the goodness is from God. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And that's then our theme for today. Thanksgiving for God's unspeakable gift. Now the children are maybe wondering as they're hearing us repeating this verse, well, what does that word unspeakable mean? It's quite an unusual word, quite a strange word. What's unspeakable about God's gift? And the meaning of it is very simply, it's a gift that's so big, that's so generous, that is so precious, that our words are not sufficient to describe it. A gift so wonderful that we cannot describe it. Thanksgiving for God's unspeakable gift. What is that gift that is so great? Perhaps we should put it a different way. Who is that gift? Who is God's unspeakable gift? And are we not brought back to the Lord Jesus Christ? Christ, Is he not that unspeakable gift? And is he not the most precious privilege that we could ever imagine? It is Christ for whom we give thanks above all else. He is God's unspeakable gift. Firstly, thanks for Christ as Saviour. As Saviour. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Christ is the Saviour of all the people of God. And when did he become their Saviour? Became their Saviour from all eternity. From all eternity. For as far back as you could possibly go or possibly imagine going, Christ had already decided, had determined, he would be the Saviour of God's people. It is an unspeakable commitment. A commitment that is resolute, that is absolute. We are told that the Word of God endures forever. And truly, the commitment of Christ to his people endures forever. It is a cast iron guarantee. And it is unspeakable because it is so certain and so definite. Who can describe the commitment, the certainty of the commitment that Jesus Christ entered into when he agreed with God to be the Saviour of the people of God? Isaiah 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is the gift of God. It is the gift of his Son to be our Saviour, to commit himself to us, to be our Prince of Peace. And is this not a wonderful and a precious gift? An unspeakable commitment. But that then leads to something else that's unspeakable. And that is, of course, the unspeakable burden. Because by taking upon himself the salvation of God's people, the Lord Jesus Christ took a weighty burden upon himself. It is the burden of the sins of all God's people. You know, if you even take one sin, who can measure the guilt of one sin? Let us say a lie told. Who can measure the guilt of a lie? A lie in the presence of the most holy God. A lie against the truth of God. A lie that is spoken in direct contradiction of the holy law of God. The guilt of such a thing is unspeakable. And when you add together every single sin that I have committed, that you have committed, that every single one of God's people, that innumerable multitude, have committed, realize that Jesus Christ bore an unspeakable burden. In his life through this world, he was weighed down by the guilt of all the sins of God's people. He endured his life suffering grief and sadness and misery and physical pain for God's people, for you, for me. He suffered in the lead up to his death the brutal violence of the Roman soldiers, the betrayal of his disciples, the cruelty and the rejection of the Jews. He suffered on the cross of Calvary under the wrath of God himself for that fearful burden of sin. And at last, he died. He died under the weight of that burden. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ is the unspeakable gift, the one who bore the unspeakable burden of God's people's guilt. What a gift. What a gift. But the result of this, of course, is an unspeakable achievement. It is the salvation of all God's people. Who can express it in words? It is unspeakable. The people of God, so vile, so ugly, so repulsive, wicked sinners in the presence of our most holy God. And by that work, the Lord Jesus has raised them from that low, that contemptible status of being these despised and wicked sinners to being children of God, to being pure and justified in the eyes of God, to be fit citizens for heaven itself. This is the achievement of God. And as we wonder at it, as we marvel at it, who can express it in words? It is unspeakable. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's God's gift. And that is the wonder of God's gift. It achieves eternal life for God's people. It is a gift that is from eternity and a gift that stretches into eternity. The victory of Christ even over the sins of his people. Oh, we must indeed give thanks for the gift of Christ. We must give thanks for his love for us that took him to this world. Thanks for his work as he endured in this world. Thanks for the gift, even the gift of himself. That gift prepared from all eternity, before you were even born. The gift that God had given you, if you are one who is trusting in Christ. Think of that and wonder at it. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So we give thanks for Christ as Saviour. But let's also see, secondly, we give thanks for Christ as Shepherd. A Shepherd. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And when we think of Christ as our Shepherd, then we must think of his unspeakable care for his people. Our whole life has been a life of care. You see what we're saying? It is really all one. All the blessings, all the good things you experience, all the provision that you have, it is all one. One tremendous ongoing blessing from birth to death, from eternity unto eternity. The goodness of God to you in Jesus Christ. It is marvellous, isn't it? That compassion that led you in safety into this world, that compassion that ensured that you were taught and instructed in the things of God, that you were raised in the presence of godly people and under a good example and under good training, the shepherding of God that showed you the emptiness of the things of this world, that showed you the folly of what this life has to offer, and the wonder of that goodness, that mercy, that convicted you of your own sin, that showed you that you are guilty in the sight of God, that brought you to your knees in repentance and in trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. Look back at your life, and yes, you can see many mistakes, but can you not see the hand of God all the way through? The hand of God at work, protecting you, keeping you from these terrible dangers from one extreme or the other, leading you on in his good time towards the path of salvation, towards the time when he called you into the path of life. We speak in theology of effectual calling. That means calling that actually works. Now, I as a preacher, I give a gospel call. I try to give that gospel call in every sermon. But effectual calling, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of God. It means calling that actually works. And it's only God that can do that. I can speak words, but oh, it needs the power of God to change the heart. God effectually called you if you are a true child of God. He drew you with power from that life of sin into a life of holiness. He knew when you were ready, and he drew you unto himself. He is the wise shepherd, guarding you, protecting you from all harm. You know, children, there's a wonderful book that was written by a man called Douglas Macmillan. He was a minister, but before he became a minister, he was a shepherd, and he spent years of his life looking after sheep. And he tells a wonderful story in that book. He was up the hills early one morning, looking down at the great flock of his sheep that he had, and he saw that a fox had approached the sheep and was starting to worry the sheep. The fox was acting like a sheepdog. It had rounded up some of the sheep, just like a sheepdog would, and it was starting to herd them. Not, of course, to help the sheep. The fox was herding them towards the muddy ground, so at last they would be trapped, they would be stuck in the mud, and he would be able to dive in and choose out a good sheep for himself to take as his prey. The fox, you see, had his eyes upon the sheep. But you see, the shepherd was watching. The shepherd was ready there with his gun. And at the moment that he saw, the fox was ready to strike. He tells in the book that what he did was he simply put his fingers in his mouth and he blew a loud whistle. And at that moment, as soon as the fox realized he was there, the fox was away. It was gone. The sheep were safe. They had been so afraid, so worried, but all the time the shepherd was there, guarding them and protecting them. That's the Lord Jesus Christ for you and I, our shepherd, the guardian of our lives. I know we might get ourselves into a lot of trouble, but always the Lord Jesus Christ has been there. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable care of us over the years. And that leads us to consider his unspeakable provision. And this is, of course, most of all what we think about at a harvest Thanksgiving. Because here we are, blessed in so many extraordinary ways. We have kitchens at home full of food of every kind, of every description. We have houses that are warm and dry and safe. We have clothes in abundance. We fare sumptuously every day. And although we do give thanks for another year and another harvest, the truth is we know that whether it is a good harvest or a bad harvest, we will fare sumptuously. For we are rich and we are provided for in every material respect. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a precious thing. And we are so thankful. These gifts are from God and he could take them away if he chose. But it is God who has provided for us all these material things. We're provided for materially. But oh, can we not say that the Lord has provided for us spiritually also? The Lord has provided for us the Word of God in our own language. The Lord has provided for us the preaching of the gospel. The Lord has provided for us a like-minded church where we have fellowship with fellow believers. The Lord has given us godly examples who have gone before us. The Lord has given us younger believers to follow after us. The Lord has surrounded us with good things, and we truly must bring forth thanksgiving as we see all that the Lord has done. It is unspeakable. Our words are not sufficient to convey our wonder at all that the Lord has done. We so sinful and so undeserving, and yet he is so good to us. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And that leads us to see the unspeakable hope that lies ahead of us, if indeed we are God's people. You see, a shepherd, when he's looking after his sheep, he's looking after them for a reason. He's not simply playing games with them. The shepherd has a purpose for the sheep. As the shepherd is watching the sheep, as he is spending time looking at them, checking them, caring for them, protecting them, he's at the same time planning what he will do. He has seen one that will be a good breeding ewe. He's seen another ram that will be good to sell on, perhaps. Others that will be good to be fattened for the slaughter. And he is making his plans. He has a purpose at each stage for these sheep. He is protecting them, nurturing them, for the purpose that he has for them. And the Lord Jesus is just the same. He has a purpose, and he has revealed that purpose in Scripture. He has showered these blessings upon us for the purpose of completing that salvation, of bringing us into everlasting life. We are, as the Apostle writes, confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He has started a work, therefore he will finish it. And in that sense, we can understand that we as the people of God enjoy these many good things in this life, but these are but a foretaste of the provision that is to come. The provision is extraordinary, it is unspeakable, and yet how much more unspeakable is the hope that lies before us of an entrance into heaven and of the provision that is there for the people of God. You see what we're saying, the plan that began in eternity, it ends in eternity. It is one great salvation that is going on even at this time. And it is a wonder to us and an unspeakable joy when we reflect upon the Lord's work in our soul. So we must give thanks. Thanks for the blessings of God. Thanks for these blessings which are all one in Christ Jesus. Thanks for the unspeakable gift of salvation in him. Thanks for the privilege that we have received of this life, this sinful life, redeemed from foolishness, from worldliness, to be a child of God, to be remade in holiness. This is the hand of the shepherd that we see, and we marvel at it, and we give the praise of it to God himself. We give thanks for Christ as shepherd. But you see that then, that leads us thirdly to see that we must give thanks to Christ as Lord. As Lord. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And as we think about all that Christ has done for us and all that he has given us, we realise Christ therefore has a right to command us. He has sovereignty over our lives. He has unspeakable sovereignty. He has given us every good thing. It is all from him. And therefore, we are his too. He has purchased. And your life is not your own if you are one of God's people. 1 Corinthians 6:20, ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And we cannot limit our lives. We cannot say of our lives, this bit is God's, this bit is mine. Not at all. We are all God's. We are his servants. And he is our Lord and he is our master. And our lives in this world must be about bringing ourselves and all that we have into subjection to the Lord Jesus. Does that mean you're maybe thinking that I can never relax, I can never enjoy myself, that I'm just all the time on duty, as it were? Not at all. It means, in fact, quite the opposite. It means that even in our relaxation, even in our enjoyment of benefits, we are bringing forth praise and worship to God. Even as we enjoy the pleasures of this life, that is the legitimate pleasures that we enjoy and take delight in, we are at the same time giving thanks to the God who gives them. You see the point? Our whole life from God, our whole life is God's. And therefore all the thanks, all the praise are to God himself. God, whose unspeakable gift is all around us. It is his unspeakable sovereignty. But at the same time, sovereignty goes with responsibility. And we always need to emphasize that. God's sovereignty over our lives, it is absolute, it is unspeakable. But equally, our responsibility to God is absolute, it is unspeakable. He demands from us obedience. And we have no right to go our own way, to follow our own path. We are to live life according to his rules, according to his guidelines. How are you called to serve God, to obey Him, to put into practice the law that He has given? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And thanks doesn't just mean words or psalms. It also means action. Show your thankfulness in your obedience to God. Show your thankfulness in your conduct, in your actions. How will you give your thanks to God? Worship Him. Be regular in His house. Bring forth true praise to Him. Give to Him of your material blessings. Provide for His cause, for His kingdom. But more than that, serve Him and obey Him in your daily life. Honour Him in every aspect of your conduct and of your behaviour. Recognise Him as Lord in all things. Honour Him. And them that honour me, saith the Lord, I will honour. Thanksgiving for God's unspeakable gift. A couple of final thoughts of application. This passage is a call to true thankfulness. And on this harvest Thanksgiving, we must indeed be thankful. We have so much to thank God for. Let us recognise it. Let us think on it. We're told that the happiest people in this world are those who are most grateful, who recognise what good things they have. We are unhappy when we are grumpy and resentful and think we're hard done by. We are happy and contented as we see how good the Lord has been to us. Let us feel that thanks. Let us experience it. Let us bring it forth in our praise and our worship to God. Let us thank Him for the good things that He gives us. But see also that this is a call to embrace that gift. And indeed we must embrace the gift of Jesus Christ. He is God's unspeakable gift. And He is offered to us afresh as our Lord and our Saviour. And oh, how will we respond? How will we reply to the offer of this unspeakable gift? The salvation which God has given. Oh, will we refuse it? Will we go our own way? Will we decide just to live life for ourselves? Or will we embrace the offer of salvation in Christ? Embrace that unspeakable gift. And bring forth praise and thanks in our own hearts for all that God has done, even for me, even for you. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Amen. And the Lord bless these thoughts.